In honor of February, anybody know what's happening next Sunday? Any men remember? First, let's make it hard. Any men remember what next Sunday is? It could be your anniversary, I don't know. But no, it's Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, in case some of you might forget. So we're going to talk about relationships this month, or month a little bit, at least for a couple weeks. We're going to talk about connecting relationships. And the art of connecting is probably one of the most important things in life that, you know, we need to master, especially, you know, if we are relationshiply challenged sometimes, you know what I mean? Some people are better at connecting than others. You know, some people are a little more introverted, they feel, or whatever the case may be. So we need to get better probably at this area of our life, because the ability to be able to make friends out of acquaintances will really help us in life. In all different areas. You know, the old saying that it's not what you know, but it's who you know. That does come into play, doesn't it? You know, so those ideas of being able to have better connections in life can, you know, progress us, you know, down the road of life a little bit better, maybe live a little more comfortably by having a good connection for a good job or things like this, and being able to put ourselves out there for promotions and things. So, you know, being able to master this art is very important, even more important than probably a lot of us would like to admit. And, you know, it's easy to blame the system. You know, I've heard that happen. You know, or say, well, it's not what you know, it's who you know, and they're mad because they didn't have the connection. You know, so we can either get mad at the system, or we can attempt to try to learn how to flow with the system. Now, I believe when God created us, He created us for connection. Remember, He created Adam first. Adam was alone. Even in the presence of God, and I'll tell you what, I love the presence of God. I could really feel the presence of God here today during worship. You know, some of you, you know, you need to reach out and accept that. You know, the presence of God sometimes feels like a blanket. You know, it just wraps us up and makes us feel good. And we need that. Well, also, God created us for connection. Even though Adam was created and he could talk to God just like we can talk. But Adam felt it wasn't enough for whatever reason. He wanted something else. He wanted a relationship with another human being. And I believe deep down inside, all of us kind of crave that, even though, you know, sometimes we try to guard ourselves so we don't have that happen, so we don't put ourselves out there and become vulnerable. But nevertheless, we're going to try to explore this today. We're going to look at two scriptures, all the same scripture, but they're two different translations. The first one, I'm going to look at Amos 3:3. It's in the Old Testament. We're going to show the scripture up here. And it says, do two men walk together unless they have made an appointment. Unless they have made an appointment. Now let's turn up the next one. That's the Message Bible. And the Message Bible words are a little bit different. It says, do two people walk hand in hand if they aren't going to the same place? Now I want you to think about that. Can two people walk hand in hand unless they're going to the same place? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the inspiration that it gives us to draw closer to you, to be able to want what you have for our life. Lord, we believe we're created for connection, and the greatest connection we can have is with you. And Lord, we desire to connect with you today. You are spirit, we are spirit beings. And Lord, help us to be able to understand what the Spirit of God is saying to us. I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, these passages of scriptures are really interesting. Now, I'm going to ask for a volunteer. I'm going to ask Scott to come up here. Now, Scott, I don't want to creep you out, but we're going to hold hands. Okay. So let's hold hands. Scott and I is going the same way. Now, if we're going to the same place, we're holding hands. Now, Scott, if he tries to go that way, we can't, see? So you have to be in agreement. Now, it's sometimes creepy for guys to hold hands in our culture, but I was over in Europe. Man, them dudes hold hands. You know, guys can walk down the street like this, arms around each other. It's a little bit different for our culture to understand it. Thank you. And, you know, the idea of being able to walk hand in hand with somebody, I'm not just talking about your spouse. This message you can bring into your marriage, but I also want you to bring in it to into your relationships with other people on how we can better, you know, equip ourselves to be able to be more productive, you know, in the things of life. Now, with any relationship, you have to start somewhere. Now, if you're the persuasion, maybe a little bit of an introvert to some degree, and you find yourself, you know, standing and leaning next to the wall at big social gatherings and just watching, you know, I could be that person. I don't have to talk to be happy, you know, but I do know I need to go out and make relationships. But I could easily stand there and, you know, be the wallflower, and it wouldn't bother me one bit. I could just go places in my mind and watch things and be happy. But yet that's not going to be able to be beneficial for me in the long run. So I need to learn. Now, this word for appointment that we looked at in the New American Standard, the Hebrew word has two different parts. And those two parts, what they mean is to arrange and to meet. To arrange and to meet. What that means is that the two persons going on a trip together, they would get together beforehand and plan their travel arrangements about the trip that they were just going to embark upon. So they would have some sort of a plan to make sure that they were both going the same direction. And that's important. Now, what Amos was doing here, he was challenging the people of Israel. People of Israel had an issue in their life, the same issue you and I have, and that is sin. They allowed sin to come into their life, and they stopped walking hand in hand with God. So their relationship became strained because they had two different ideas on what they wanted out of life. And that's what happens to us sometimes. It's, you know, when we don't find somebody, you know, that we're compatible with. Now, I do know that we need to also understand the fact that any kind of relationship that you and I get to, we have to maybe sometimes have some boundaries in that relationship, what we expect out of the relationship. You know, I know that, you know, sometimes we can put too big of expectation, you know, and, you know, sometimes when little girls get married to boys, you know, they have this knight in shining armor, this Prince Charming guy, going to be waiting down there at the end of the aisle. And it's like that during the engagement process, but sometimes after you say, I do, then you end up saying, I don't know if I want to do that no more. Right? Something changes. So we need to be able to learn how to find out. And maybe you're married today. This is not a get-out-of-marriage sermon, amen? You know, this is, you know, maybe you and your spouse is incompatible to some degree. But, you know, I believe God can make opposites, you know, work it out if you choose to do so. So now, you know, the idea of, you know, there's a starting place in every relationship. You know, maybe you have new relationships. You can equate this like when you go to work, you know, maybe a new job, maybe you're the new employee or maybe somebody else is the new employee and you start to get to know somebody. You have something in common already, the job, you know, and things like that. But have you ever had somebody ask you, like you and your girlfriend or spouse, and they ask, how did you meet? You know, that's a common question, especially, you know, it's interesting for a lot of women to know that. How did you meet? How did you meet the person you're with? You know, maybe you have different ways that you like to meet people and stuff, where you like to meet them. You know, before I got saved, I was kind of complicated. You know, I wanted to meet girls in bars, but I didn't want to meet my wife there. I wanted to meet my wife in church. You know, I'm serious. That's just how I was. You know, how do you meet people? How do you go up and build new relationships? You know, the Alpha class that we offer here at church or the Wednesday night Bible study, it's a more of an intimate atmosphere in a sense. You don't have to talk. We don't make you talk. We give you an opportunity to come and to listen and to share. And if you want to talk, you can. But, I mean, it's just an opportunity, and you make relationships that way with other people, and you start to do things together. So that's a very important thing. So you may have to decide to initiate the relationship, you know, to try to grow, put yourself out there a little more. You know, if you want to have friends, you have to be friendly, right? That's just pretty simple. You know, we just have to try to be friendly, and it's easier for some than others to be friendly, to be able to communicate and to be able to talk, you know. Maybe you don't like talking about yourself. Now, if you're going to meet somebody for the first time, and, you know, that's why you need some boundaries. You need to understand, you know, you're on the same page on what you want to do out of life. Let's say you meet somebody new at work and, you know, and hey, what are you doing Saturday? Oh, nothing. Well, you want to go do something fun? You may be thinking bowling. They might be thinking jumping out of an airplane or running the bulls or something, you know what I mean? In Pamplona, you know, chase, you know, just doing something crazy. You know, and you're not there. So you're not compatible. You know what I mean? That's probably not somebody maybe you can build a relationship with. Because you have different interests. Things that you want to do. And that's okay. But there's somebody out there that you can, you know, do the same thing. Now, so with that, you have to make sure you're going to the same destination. The same destination that you're going. You know, many marriages end in divorce. And this is kind of a side topic. But here's what really happens. Our culture has gotten to the point where we emphasize the physical attraction before we have the emotional and the emotional attraction to a sense, or the intellectual attraction. You know, where you find out if you guys are compatible and wanting the same things in life. Because what happens, oh, that person looks hot. How many know there's always somebody hotter out there? Right? Be honest. So what happens if your only attraction is a physical attraction to the other person, and you're just there because of that physicalness, and you've never taken time to develop the other side of your life, you know, which is the emotional and mental attraction, then the odds are, unless you really get it fixed, that relationship is doomed for failing. Because that physical attraction will probably get severed somewhere down the line. And that's why we need to make sure. Now, because what happens is when you have that physical attraction and you're just drawn to that, then as you get to know the other person, have you ever fell in love with somebody and then they could do no wrong? But all of a sudden, there was a time in that relationship when they could do no right. You know, some of those things that you thought were kind of cute when you met each other, now just irritate you. You know, slurping of the soup. You know what I mean? That used to be cute, but not no more. It irritating you. You don't want no part of it. And some of you guys used to love just how laid back the other person was. Now they're lazy, right? There's that transition that's happened somewhere along the line. Then you maybe used to love how they took charge. Now they're bossy. You know, all those things happen in relationships as they progress. Because relationships usually are not the fairy tale. And that's why we need to make sure that we build the mental, emotional connection, you know, especially in a marriage relationship. So when it'll stand the test of time. And be able, because there's a lot of attacks going to come upon any relationship. Because, you know, that's just how the devil works. He wants to divide and he wants to be able to destroy that and be able to break that bond. Because any relationship that you try to endeavor on is kind of risky business. Because what really has to happen for the relationship to be strong is that both parties have to make themselves vulnerable. You have to be vulnerable. You have to put yourself out there. You have to maybe share. So that's why you just don't enter in a relationship with anybody, right? You need to make sure that the person you're sharing your business with is on the same page as you. And that takes a little bit of time. It takes time to build that trust. And what's wrong with our culture is that, you know, we get that physical thing going, especially boy-girl stuff. And then we're in there and we're in a very intimate, passionate situation. But the stability is not there. And it ends in destruction. Now, let's say hypothetically, you're in a good relationship now. And you're on the way. And what I look at as a relationship is the fact that we need to enjoy the journey together. Enjoy the journey together. And what happens along that is that the journey is where we find out things. The journey is a revealer. Anytime you and I go on a trip, and if you've ever spent extra time with somebody, you know, when you're in the dating phase or just the initial relationship phase, maybe with a friend, you may go spend 2 to 3 hours with this person, right? How many can handle 2 or 3 hours of somebody? I mean, be honest, yeah, that ain't that bad. You can usually put up with that. But if you're going on a journey with this person and you're with them 24/7, and you're exposed to them all the time, and they're exposed to you all the time. Well, now we're in a different dynamic, a different paradigm, shall we say, of this relationship and how it's going to grow. And you're going to find out some things, because that journey that you take with somebody is going to reveal a couple things. Number one, it's going to reveal a lot about ourselves. Anytime you're with somebody else for that experience of time, it's hard to be a faker, right? Now, we can fake for a while. Most of us are very good actors. You know, we can pretend, but you can't pretend all the time. So it's going to reveal some things about ourselves. Hey, I have issues, man. You know what I mean? I know that. I can handle it. I know I have some issues in my life. And that's what happens on that journey with somebody, because they're going to reveal those issues. And then also, what's going to happen on the journey is going to reveal some stuff about that person. Some stuff you didn't even know. And you're going to find out, you know, more about this person than maybe you wanted to know. That they have issues too. They have stuff in their life that they need to deal with. Now, it's one thing when we say that we're planning the journey, but that truth that's revealed on the journey of life, that's when the rubber meets the road on how we're going to deal with that stuff. You know, that's when we start to weigh out the relationship as you start to spend more time. You know, do you have the same interests? Are you going the same direction? And I do know this, it's less hassle traveling alone. Did you know that? I mean, one suitcase. Maybe not even a big suitcase. You get to go eat where you want to eat. You get to go see what you want to see anytime you want. But you have to remember, you're doing it alone. It's alone. And if you can handle that, then that's a lot easier. Paul said, he wished everybody could be in his state, meaning he was not married at the time he was doing some ministry, because it's hard doing it with somebody sometimes. Because what happens on that journey, and I'm going to do a series on this one of these days whenever our relationship's a little better, and I know you won't all run away, I'm going to teach on selfishness. I think selfishness is the root to most of all of our problems in life. Selfishness on what it does. And how it comes in to destroy us. Now, you've heard me talk before that when I was single, you know, I really considered myself, you know, a very spiritual person. There might have been a few days there I thought I was perfect. You know, I knew the word, man. Hey, you just asked me, I could tell you. I thought I was a very spiritual person. Well, then I got married. And it was revealed to me how unspiritual I really was, because selfishness came out. I didn't have to deal with that when I was alone, because I did what I wanted, when I wanted, just because I wanted to do so. But when I entered into covenant or relationship with somebody else, then I had to do a word that a lot of us don't like to use, and that's the word compromise. We have to compromise to have a healthy relationship sometimes. Meaning, we have to put the other person's interests in the equation also. We don't just get to go to our restaurant all the time. We don't get to just go to the movie that we like to see all the time. Am I stepping on any toes here? You just smiled a minute ago. Now nobody's hardly smiling. It's true, ain't it? We start to find these things out. And it's hard to handle. Now, what was hard for me when I met my wife, we met in Bible school. And I do know this, that my wife and I, we read the same Bible translation, went to the same church, voted for the same candidates, slept in the same bed, and ate primarily the same food. But we saw things totally differently. And to this day, I don't know why. Why are we different? Why? I don't know. There's a lot of books been written on the why. Why men and women are differently. We're wired different sometimes. But I do know this, that it's very rewarding, because, you know, my weaknesses are her strengths, and vice versa. Her strengths are my weaknesses and stuff like that. But, you know, how we start to deal with things, and we learn from each other, and how we grow. And that's what I found out about relationships, is that you know, the journey that we have with other people, it reveals some things that we can work on. Now, don't be devastated when you find out that, man, you're not as spiritual as you thought you were, or sometimes you're downright rude. You know what I mean? We can get that way, can't we? We can get kind of owly and ouchy. You know, don't let the devil beat you over the head with that. You know, but use it as a stepping stone and to be able to know that some things that are that we need to work on. Now, the reason why I say, you know, that, you know, we can learn from other people is because it's not foolproof. We can only learn from other people if we're willing to deal with that selfishness issue in our life, right? That's what we have to get to. Now, we're going to go into the golden rule in relationships now. What's the golden rule in relationships? You know, the golden rule is to do unto others before they do it to you. Isn't that in the Bible somewhere? It's not, is it? It says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's what we have to understand in relationship. Now, you've heard it said it's not about you, right? Have you heard that? I'm sure somebody close to you had said that to you. It's not about you, man. It's not about you. You know, it's about me today. Today's my day. You know, and I claim a day, and that's my day. That's my personal day. That's when I just get to be me. But it's not about you. But I want to take that a little bit farther, because I don't think that's totally true, because if we go into a relationship, and I was in a relationship with somebody, and I went in with the mindset that it's not about me, it's always about the other person, is that really fair? I don't think it is. Because what's going to happen is the doormat mentality, where if you enter into a relationship and you're always having to cave and always having to give in all the time, you're going to end up frustrated. Because you can only do that so long, because that's not healthy. Any relationship is built upon compromise and trust and learning to get along with each other. And those things are very important. It's okay to somewhat, as a Christian, think it's about the other person. That's true. But if in the long haul, we have to understand, and if you're in a relationship with somebody, it's about all parties involved to make sure that all people will enjoy their relationship as they grow together. Now, the Bible says, you know, that iron sharpens iron. You know, we rub off on each other. We help each other. We help each other to grow. You know, it's frustrating, you know, to watch, you know, why some people are afraid to put themselves out there, you know, but we nevertheless need to do so, because, you know, as we, you know, we don't want to be confrontive, you know, in our relationships and trying to deal with other people, because, you know, that'll repel people and somewhat push them away. But, you know, nevertheless, what we need to do is understand that we can disagree without making it personal. Have you ever made it personal? I think we all have, right? Whenever we feel threatened by the person that we're in a discussion with, in order to save ourselves, we attack the other person. And that's not a healthy relationship. Because what's going to happen is that if you make it personal, there's going to be some wounds and going to be some hurts emotionally that's going to affect your relationship in the long run. And that's why we need to make sure that, you know, the old saying, we can disagree without being disagreeable. And it's an art that we have to learn. And one thing that really helps us, if you take a step back, is that if you put a value on the relationship, and that's something that we need to do. You know, sometimes we take relationships for granted. You know, as a husband, as a man, you know, I know for me, sometimes, you know, I changed after I said I do to some degree. Once I got the piece of paper signed, I knew she couldn't get away, you know, and the real me came out, you know, to a degree. You know, but what's the problem is that if I start to disvalue or not put a value on how important my wife is, or how important a different kind of relationship is, and how I need to value that relationship. You know, really a relationship is worth more than a lot of money. You know, because it's something that you're going to have, you know, for all eternity. You know, money, you ain't going to need money in heaven. You know, primarily, the streets are gold. I don't know what you're taking up there with you. You know, but I know you ain't going to be able to haul that, because that ain't how it works. So it's really the interpersonal relationships and the things that we learn to develop. And, you know, we need to do that. Maybe you don't feel like you fit in life. Maybe you don't feel like you're afraid to put yourself out there because people's taking advantage of you. You know, those are all valid points. But nevertheless, we need to get to the place of trust. And there's different ways that we can do, and we're going to probably discuss a few more of those in the upcoming, you know, week or so. So it's important that we understand the golden rule of relationships. Now, as I showed, Scott and I walking together, hand in hand. Now, some guys don't like to hold hands in public. It used to bother me a little bit, and still does a little. I don't know, I'm just not into that so much. And my wife does, so every now and then I'll throw her a bone, you know, and grab her hand, you know, and we'll walk a little ways, and then all of a sudden, oh, I want to go look at this, you know. So I kind of separate a little bit. I don't know why. Everybody's different, you know. I just never was into that, you know, touching in public type stuff. But maybe I was raised by wolves. I don't know what I was. But anyway, you know, but I'm getting used to it a little bit. It's only taken me, what, about 30 years? You know, I'm a terrible slow learner in some things. Other things I pick up real quick, but not everything. So learning to walk together side by side, and when you're doing that, that means when you're in that relationship together, you know, nobody's ahead and nobody's behind. You're walking hand in hand. And I hope you find somebody like that in your life, because it's very rewarding and very fulfilling when you find somebody, because it makes you a better rounded person. And being able to go out and to develop other relationship with, you know, men and men together in the church and women, you know, those are good. Now we're going to look at some application. So every relationship has a starting spot, and you need to find that. You're going to click with somebody and maybe, you know, be able to make things happen, but, you know, you have to try. So if you're in a new relationship with somebody, trying to develop some friends, maybe you've had somebody leave you, and it's hard when a friend turns on you or things like that. So you don't want to compare the old relationship to the new one, because that's not fair. Next, you need to remember the journey is a place of learning. Remember, you're going to learn about yourself, and you're going to learn about the other person on how you can, you know, better function together. You know, there's things I know I've learned with my wife. There's things that she's just good at. I was kidding around last week, and I got in a little bit of trouble before service or during the service, remember? You know, but I think I was able to save it. But, you know, there's things that I have grown dependent upon her. And for me to actually admit that, that's rough. Because I'm a very independent person. But to actually know that I need her, and, you know, for things that she does, and, you know, how she completes me, you know, it's just amazing. You know, I never thought that would ever been an avenue in my life, you know, that I would ever come to. But as you get a little older and you grow together, you know, you used to see how, you know, I can really understand, I've developed a very strong compassion, you know, for people who loses a spouse, you know, to death or things like that, and how hard that is, you know, the pain, you know, because you've grown attached to that person. Next, you know, we understand that we deal with that selfishness issue, and we all have it. It keeps coming and going. It's a fruit of the flesh. It's not of the Spirit, right? And, you know, you can study the fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. They're really good in Galatians there. We all have that selfishness. And in any relationship, you're going to be able to find faults in the other person, unless you're married to Jesus, right? You know, and we're all married to Him. We're the bride of Christ. But as far as this other person, you know, that you're with, or other people in relationships, they all have faults. Now, it's okay to see faults, but you don't want to be a fault finder. There's a difference, right? If you get to the place in your life where you stop just noticing the faults and you start to be a fault finder, and that's all you see when you look at the other person is their faults. All you see is that soup slipper or sipper or that, you know, that person that does those annoying habits. Then you need to step back and reevaluate your mind and try to remember what was it that drew you to that person. And start to see the good in that person. Start to see the good in that relationship and what really brought you together. Because those things that you disagree upon that you're maybe different from each other is what's just going to make you strong. And that's how you're going to have a strong relationship that's going to, you know, stand the test of time. And then in any relationship, you know, don't be afraid to share your expectations. You know, the communication aspect on what it is that we need to do. You know, because a lot of times, and pick the time that you want to talk to the other person. You know, because I know in my life, the last time I want to hear from my wife is when I have my head on the pillow and I'm ready to go to sleep. She knows that. That's not a time, if you really want to talk deep with me, you know, I'm going to sleep. And the last thing, you know, I want to do is spend the night up, you know, if I'm not, you know, if I get woke up once I'm in that sleep mode. So there's other times, you know, and there's times I should talk to her and how to talk to her. And I've just learned that. So you kind of learn, you know, the art of communication on how to develop that so you can really connect. And the idea of the relationship is a connection. And I hope you, you know, desire to pursue that in your life. Let's every head bow and eye closed now.